Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, it's good to have our visitors back from Enid this evening. And Dwight's sister is back with us. Yeah.
I'll be on hat for a month.
Yeah, good. In August of 2005, Newsweek and Belief.net asked 104 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. And one of the questions in the survey was, what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? 27% chose to seek God's guidance. 23%, almost a quarter, said to thank God. 19% said to be close to God. 13% to help others. And 9% to improve a person's life. 4% other purposes. And about 50 of them said, I don't know. Well, tonight in our lesson, we're going to address the purpose of prayer. And obviously, as that little survey indicated, there are a lot of good reasons to pray. And one good way to remember those reasons or your purpose to pray is with a little acronym that I really like. It's ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the A stands for adoration. All of us understand the concept of adoring something, but more, adoring someone. But when we talk of adoration, we're talking about expressing to God how we adore Him and why we adore Him. And as we express this, we are, in fact, also praising Him, which, of course, is at the very heart of adoration, praise. As I thought about and studied this concept, it dawned on me that we may need some help in understanding how to express adoration to God in our prayers. The shepherd boy David was anointed to be king of Israel. But before him, as you know, lay incredible challenges and struggles. Yes, that young boy killed Goliath, but Goliath was only the beginning of the battles that he would have to fight. King Saul, his king, rebelled against God and found himself fighting wars without God as his defender and his strength and his salvation. And interestingly, he responded to his spiritual depravity by trying to kill David. He was envious of David. David, single-handedly, other than God's help, he single-handedly killed Goliath. But later, David and his men would kill Goliath's brother and offspring, according to 2 Samuel 21. And at the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 22, David spoke to the Lord the words of a psalm on a day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and even the hand of King Saul. Now, this song that he wrote was included in the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 18. And we actually have songs that include verses from this song that David wrote. Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And these next two sentences are a very popular song, especially with the kids. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Have you ever heard that song? We're still singing David's songs today. Songs of adoration. Down in verse 46, the Lord liveth. The Lord lives. We sing it, the Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Those are all words of adoration. Why he adored God and how God had blessed him. When you need help praising and expressing adoration to God, just if you need some help, some guidance, just go to the Psalms. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he penned a prayer of praise to God. Ephesians 3, beginning about verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, Ephesians 3, 15. From whom the whole family and earth, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which works, or that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What an incredible prayer. And the prayer simply was this, that we would be able to comprehend fully how much God loves us and how much Christ loves us. And then march forward, doing more than we could ever imagine ourselves doing by the power of God. And all of it to the glory of God. Every prayer from our lips should include that kind of adoration and praise for God. In other words, where would you be without God? You wouldn't be here. Where would you be? What difference has God made in your life? How significant are the promises of God for your life? As you answer those kind of questions, you find the ingredients for a recipe of adoration and praise for God. Where you would be without God. Now you're speaking words of adoration. What difference God has made. Words of adoration. God, you've made all the difference. How significant his promises are. And so every prayer should have that adoration. The second letter in Acts, of course, is C, and that stands for confession. It's significant that the person who is expressing adoration and praise to God will never omit the reason for praying, or this reason. 1 John 1:7-10 really focuses in on this concept of confession. 1 John 1:7-10. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That verb cleanses is continual action. As you're walking in the light, blood keeps cleansing. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Again, continual action. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. There in verse 9, that word confess, if we confess our sins, is an interesting word in the original language. It literally means to say the same thing as someone else has said, or to agree with, to give assent. And so obviously, as we confess our sins in this context, we're not revealing things to God of which He's not aware. I mean, that's obvious. We are agreeing with God that we're sinners. We are acknowledging that God is correct. We miss the mark of pure righteousness on our own. We have no hope. Well, we are agreeing that we are impure in thought and actions. We're not perfect. And so as we confess our sins, this is an ingredient of that in the original language, is that we are in full acknowledgement with God that we are, in fact, sinners in need of His grace and the cleansing blood of Christ. Now, Satan would like nothing better than for you to believe anything other than that. And the most effective weapon in his arsenal, at least for many, is pride. Turn to James 4, verse 6 and following. James chapter 4. I'll give you a minute. It's in the New Testament. You already knew that. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, James 4, 6. He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, in other words, in view of the fact that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil. Here's a promise. And he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And so what does an humble child of God do according to this passage? He submits to God. Let me use a different word. He surrenders to God and His will. He says no, or she says no. The humble says no to Satan. The humble child of God draws near to God and walks in the light. The humble child of God purifies their heart. That means they feed it things that are godly, holy, righteous. They grieve their own sinfulness. They take no pleasure in sin. It's not a reason for laughter or jokes. They humble themselves before Jehovah God. In other words, they are in absolute full agreement with God that they are in and of themselves unholy. They are in need of forgiveness. They are in need of God's grace and mercy and the blood of Christ. And so prayers include that. God, please forgive me. And thank you that that prayer is already answered in the blood of Christ. The T, acts, A-C-T, the T stands for thankfulness. You don't have to look far to find exhortations to express thankfulness to God. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with alcohol, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we sing, are we giving thanks? Of course. Have you ever caught yourself singing a song during church service, not thinking about the words you were singing, just singing the melody, the notes? Well, you better stop that. Right? And we've all found ourselves there. But here's our opportunity to express thankfulness to God. Not in a prayer, but in a song. By the way, verse 21, he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Christians have no throne upon which to sit and rule. Rather, we have feet to wash and souls to serve. And we're thankful for the opportunities. Colossians 4, verse 2, a passage we looked at this morning in our Bible class, continue earnestly in prayer, steadfastly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And so Paul says, if you're going to be praying, you have to be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18, just a couple of pages to your right, Paul says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. And then he says this, in everything give thanks. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. What is happening in your life for which you can't be thankful? Sin? Other than sin? Even in our struggles, as we deal with our... Paul or James said, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. You know it's going to make you stronger. And so, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then maybe my favorite one is Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. You all know this passage. Be anxious for nothing. Now bite you off a piece of that. You think there were times in Paul's life, earlier in his life, when he was anxious about some things? Oh yeah. He was so anxious the first time he went to Corinth, although he was teaching and people were responding in faith to the gospel and obedience to the gospel, Jesus still had to speak to him and say, "Don't be afraid. Keep speaking. No one's going to hurt you. I've got your back," in other words. He was anxious about the threats in that wicked city. But now he writes to Philippi while in prison, and he says, "Be anxious for nothing." Now, do you get the impression that Paul, what would it take to make him anxious? At this point in his life, even prison, earlier in Philippians, he said, hey, this is working out for the best. Because I'm getting to preach to the Praetorian Guard. One of them gets chained to me every day, and I got a captive audience to spread the gospel to the most powerful political force in the Roman Empire. It's working out good. The brethren, they are more bold to speak God's word. It's all working better. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Oh, how true that is. Can you describe to someone who's never lived a Christian life how significant the peace of God is in your life? It's beyond 2 + 2 = 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you're finding a reason to be thankful as you're getting ready to pray, just read that verse. Again, when we are expressing praise and adoration for God, asking God to forgive us by the blood of Christ, how can our hearts not be filled with thankfulness? I got a homework assignment for you. You're not going to have to turn it in. I'm not going to do that. But I got a homework. You like homework? No? No. No answer. No, I'm not answering that question. Go home and read Psalm 136. And do it every day this week. Only when Israel stopped remembering what God had done for them and the promises that He had made to them, and the promises of what He would do for them if they strayed from Him. Only when they forgot the promises of God and the reasons for thankfulness did they stray. So after reading Psalm 136 every day, start your list. Make a list of your reasons you're thankful. And then express those to God in prayer. The last letter, S, stands for supplication. Supplication in prayer is simply letting your requests be made known to God. We read Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." A man once shared with me, he said, "Danny, God doesn't want me to bug Him about every little detail in my life. He's got a lot of things He's taking care of." And so all of my petty concerns and needs and struggles, I don't need to share all those. I showed him some verses that, you know, gave him food for thought. Notice in this text, Philippians 4:6, the cure for anxiousness is letting God know that we need His assistance. We need His strength. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance. And He wants us to cast all our cares on Him. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes something very interesting in the Roman Empire. A Christian writing to Christians about how they should respond to the Roman Empire, which was very corrupt. Romans, or 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that prayers, our supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Paul, who lived under the rule of the Roman Caesar, Nero, asked Timothy to encourage the church to be praying for everyone, including Nero. But notice the reason for this request, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We live in a country, in a state where that prayer is answered every day. We have the opportunity every day to live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence. It may not ever be that way, but it's that way now. And we need to be expressing our thankfulness to God for the answer to the prayer, the supplication, that He be with our leaders, that they will lead us to that end, to that opportunity. In an empire of moral depravity and tyranny and ungodly leaders, Paul tells those brethren through Timothy, pray that we can live quiet and peaceful lives, praising God who is worthy of our adoration. Even today, again, that should be our supplication to God. Yes, God knows our needs even before we ask. But when we ask God for our needs, we're expressing from our hearts that He alone can supply all those good things. We're putting our trust in Him, asking His blessings in these things. We often quote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We sit on bumper, on tags, and we don't see many bumper stickers anymore, but on t-shirts, and you see that everywhere. And I have people tell me, well, the Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We'll win this ball game. In the context, what things is Paul discussing? Well, here it is, verse 11. Philippians 4:11. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned, he's learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. He learned to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Look down at verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The context of I can do all things through Christ is I can be content no matter what comes my way. No matter how hungry or how full I am, I've learned to be content. I can praise God no matter what. And it makes sense if God supplies all our need, allowing us to do all things through Christ and in His strength, we should be asking Him to supply those needs. Thanking Him for supplying those needs. Not wants, but needs. And then praising Him. And then we can be content in all circumstances. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so maybe this will help in your daily prayer life. Adoration, confession, thankfulness, and supplication. And next Sunday, we will continue looking at prayer. But don't forget your homework. It will be a blessing to your life. If you need to come tonight, please come now while we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to reward.